Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey everyone, welcome to the VPD Bunch. I'm your host, Sani, and today I am here with Mo, Raf, Karis, Solène, and Georgette. Last time, we started our conversation on BPD episodes, focusing on what a BPD episode is and how we experience it, what are some of the things that sets it off for us. If this kind of topic or BPD-related things are up your alley, please make sure to like, subscribe, and turn on your notifications so that you do not miss anything. Today, we are going to be discussing how to survive a BPD episode. So what are some of the different things that you do to manage your BPD episodes?
The first thing is to recognize that I'm in it. Wait a minute. I think I'm having an episode. And then I use, in DBT, it's called distress tolerance. But what that is changing temperature. So like cold water in the face, physical intense physical activity, paced breathing, or stop. That's a big one for me. I need to, whatever I am doing, because a lot of times it's interpersonal, whatever, if I am texting, I need to put that away. I need to take the phone away from myself, physically walk away from it. Sometimes if it's an in-person thing, I have to physically leave the room. So the most important thing for me is recognizing what is happening. And sometimes it takes a little bit to do that. But once I'm recognizing, then I can start using these skills to calm myself down. Early in my recovery, I thought that I was supposed to dunk my face in water once or do a skill one time and I should be calm now. What I have realized is that you have to do it multiple times because you might get a tiny bit calmer every time. That's been a really helpful thing for me to remember. So recognizing it, using distress tolerance, repeat that until I'm calm. And I call it don't feed the bear. I don't ruminate. If there's, because my thoughts will be negative and repeating, and I'm feeding the bear by having those ruminating thoughts. I need to stop. I need to think about puppies. I need to think about outfits. I need to think about anything but what has triggered all these emotions in myself, so I don't feed the bear. And then it is repeating that until I feel better. Sometimes reaching out for qualified help. Not all of our listeners may have access to phone coaching, but something that everybody has access to that is a sort of professional help would be like a suicide hotline. You don't have to be standing on the side of a building looking over to call and reach out. So those are the things I do to get through an episode. And it as I go through those things, it turns into self-soothing. So after I've initially taken the temperature down, then I can use self-soothing things. I made a self-soothing box for the first time.
So mine's actually kind of similar to yours. Well, the main one being like check my data points, like immediately is the thing that I'm thinking based in reality. I think that's just kind of like the first and go-to for everything. And that'll be a repeating thing that I kind of do over and over and over again. The next part is just like soothe myself physically, check my breathing, check my body, see what's tense, and like get rid of that physical tenseness, turn down the lights, belly breathe, get all that sort of stuff done. And then I think the next part is reach out I'm very, very lucky with the friends that I have, because we all talk through everything with that, including like BPD, including our mental health. So we kind of all have an awareness of how we can help each other. And the biggest kind of like helpful internal thought has been, this doesn't need to get sorted out right now. It's also really helped in relationships where it's been, we don't need to make a decision right now. Yeah, then just slow down.
It's that sense of urgency.
Yeah.
Feeling a sense of urgency tells me I'm in an episode. I have to act on this right now.
Yeah.
That is a very big, like, wait a second.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, and I really like that we're coming up also with questions, right? So asking, is this urgent? So for me, that's the first thing that, you know, I do in terms of like surviving a BPD episode is asking myself questions. You know, what's happening? What am I noticing? What's happening inside? You know, the why, like, why do I think this is happening? And for me, understanding the why, and that's taking two steps back in terms of like looking at also different episodes and when they come on and kind of how I'm reacting in different situations. Like, I guess from getting the diagnosis, I've done a lot of that, like looking back and making sense of things and focusing on that understanding of the why, not in the judgmental way, like, oh my God, why? But in a very open, curious way, like, what is the purpose? Like, how come might have I been in an episode? And usually there is an explanation, because I didn't have any other skills yet, because I lost complete sense of control, because I was trying to protect myself. And this was the way that, you know, I thought I could do it, because I was trying to avoid something. And another way to survive a BPD episode for me has been noticing the early signs, so that I can like very quickly soothe myself, bring myself back to baseline. So signs will be like knots in my belly, tension in my body, not wanting to be touched, like wanting to isolate and not see anyone. So I can notice those. And then again, back to the questioning of like, okay, what would be an effective way to move from where I am now? Like, what are my options, basically? And taking that mindful moment to kind of ask myself that question and then try one and like see how it goes. Almost like a choose your own adventure kind of thing.
I find that if I'm having an episode, I'm usually a lot more depressed or I'm very irritable. So I have road rage. Everybody makes me mad. I just feel like snapping at everyone for anything. So recognizing the signs that you're having an episode is probably the first step. And then also being able to talk it out with someone and figuring out what you can and can't control. So if you're having an episode because of something going on in your life, it's important to figure out, what can you control? What can you do about it? Is there a way to resolve the issue? You know, how can you move past this? If it's something more internally, then I would say, like for me, I don't always have a known reason why I'm having a BPD episode. So I just do a lot of self-care. That usually means hanging out inside the house, watching funny stuff on TV, avoiding social media, because I just don't need that type of interaction when I'm having a moment. So that's how I get through it. And also just knowing I have been through enough episodes to know that you always come out on the other end, no matter how shitty you might feel. So, you know, and I have felt pretty down when I've been going through an episode. So just riding that wave of emotion and knowing that hopefully in a day or two or however long they last for you, you'll get through it and you won't feel the way you feel right now.
Yeah, that's been so big for me too. Like, I think that was what was hard about BPD when I was really young, was that I didn't have any past experiences really to compare it to. You know, like the really intense, horrific experiences, I didn't know that I could get through it because I'd never done it before. And so just being able to look back and go, hey, I've survived this in the past. Why would I not be able to survive it now? Like, that doesn't make sense, right? And so, and for me, so much of what felt like out of control in the past was that I would have an episode and then I never went back to analyze what went wrong. I was just like, well, that sucked. This is the next moment. And stopping to really think about what made me vulnerable. What were the, in like the physical and environmental things not related to interpersonal stuff? So did I sleep enough? Have I been drinking enough water? All of those kinds of things. But also, you know, when did I really start feeling activated? Because a lot of the times I realized I started feeling a little bit activated a lot earlier than the spike really hit. But I wasn't able to really notice that until I was sitting down and analyzing all of those things. And I got in the habit of analyzing what happens during those moments. And then it was a lot easier to recognize patterns. It didn't feel like it was taking me as much by surprise anymore.
I really like that element of the pattern recognition and doing the self-reflection. My big one that I wrote down was my please skill. And my please skill is my BPD or my DBT skill that I use. So the please skill is just real quick. It's the, have I treated physical illness? Like, am I sick? Do I have a headache? Is there something causing me pain that I need to like remove, like a piece of gravel that's in my work boot or something? Like, is there something, do I have a physical illness? Have I had the proper nutrition that I need? Have I had caffeine after 1 p.m.? That's a huge thing for me. I get highly dysregulated if I have caffeine in the afternoon. In the morning, it is a requirement. But in the afternoon, it's a detriment. Balanced sleep. And have I been exercising? It's funny because I'm very active during the work week. I work 44 hours a week in construction. And so like I'm always going. I average like 23 flights of stairs a day, 5 days a week. So when I'm on vacation or if I'm off sick or if it's a weekend, I'm very sedentary. I don't like to go out and exercise on my time off because I am enjoying the fact that I get to just sit. And those are the times where I have to intentionally leave the house and go for a walk because it's in my please skill. E is exercise. Have I exercised enough? Do I have the endorphins going through my body at a rate that they're regularly used to? No, because it's like 3 o'clock on a Saturday and I haven't changed out of my pajamas yet. Yeah. So that's my biggest way, I guess, to survive the episodes is just to figure out, like do a real good scan and figure out what's going on with myself.
Thank you everyone so much for watching. We hope you got a nugget of wisdom to take with you on your journey. Make sure to like, subscribe, and turn on your notifications so you do not miss a single episode. We will be back next week with a brand new topic, and we will see you then. Bye!